50 miles east of Los Angeles lies the Inland Empire, one of the fastest-growing areas in the country. This chunk of Southern California is home to 3.5 million people. That's more than double the population 25 years ago. And as more people move in, subdivisions have replaced orange groves and wheat fields. In the second part of our series on the Inland Empire, NPR's Ina Jaffe reports that some farmers are finding it still possible to hang on to their way of life for now.
You can tell when you're getting close to Andy Domenigoni's farm. First, the suburban sprawl gradually gives way to fields lush with green ripening wheat. Then you pass the Domenigoni Parkway and the Domenigoni Hills. The farm is in the Domenigoni Valley. It's been called the Domenigoni Valley since the 1880s.
Here we are today. I'm a fourth generation. My son is fifth generation. My daughter has two young boys now. So I have six generations of Domenigonis here now.
Standing out by the hay barn, watching a flock of mother sheep nurse their new lambs, suburban encroachment seems a long way off, but it's really just beyond the horizon. The evidence, says Domenigoni, is the constant traffic whizzing down the highway. These days, he gets cursed out when he takes the road with his slow, bulky farm vehicles. There are a lot of ways the rural and suburban lifestyles don't mix.
People do not understand that we do not work from 8 to 5. We make dust, we spread fertilizers, and sometimes we work all night because we have a window to plant our crops and a window to harvest them.
More evidence of the Inland Empire's exploding growth is just 30 yards from the hay barn. What looks like a huge hill is actually an earthen dam holding back the Diamond Lake Reservoir. Built in the 1990s to keep up with Southern California's endless thirst, it holds 260 billion gallons of water. At the bottom is about half of the nearly 4,000 acres that once belonged to the Domenigonis. The family fought to keep it and lost. They got more than $40 million in compensation, but Andy Domenigoni still has a hard time even talking about it.
The money that is paid in compensation for somebody's land that is unwilling to sell, I don't think you can put a price tag on it. It's a tough deal. During that time, I lost my father, lost my uncle. I think over this.
Domenigoni says he intends to keep working his remaining land. Farming's what he does and what he loves. But with the Inland Empire expected to gain another 1.5 million people over the next 20 years, he can imagine suburban tract homes rising on his fields, while the family finds literally greener pastures someplace else. Yet agriculture is what first brought wealth and fame to the Inland Empire. The evidence of those days is in the city of Riverside's downtown historic district, a nucleus of elegant, century-old buildings.
It represents the kind of Beaux-Arts classical in the Spanish mode architecture that reflected a 60-70-year period when we were the king of the naval orange.
Vincent Moses is the director of the Riverside Municipal Museum. The city, he says, was once surrounded by 20,000 acres of naval orange groves and was a fashionable winter haven for the East Coast elite. Back in his office, Moses shows off samples from the museum's vast collection of vintage orange crate labels. One shows Uncle Sam himself holding up a cluster of oranges.
Growers like to identify the naval orange industry with American capitalism and therefore American patriotism. They use that in their branding. The bigger social aspect, though, came as people looked at these images, used these crates for bookshelves and all sorts of things, and looked at those labels and envisioned California and their desire to get out of zero-degree temperatures and go there.
But the amount of land devoted to agriculture here has been steadily declining. In the past three decades, it's down about 30%. So Riverside County has adopted a new plan designed to control growth and protect both open space and agriculture. Jerry Jolliffe is the county's deputy planning director.
We are one of the largest agricultural producers in the country with about a $1 billion industry, and it's part of the overall diversification of our economy. One of the most important things is it's a major piece of the character of Riverside County, an important part of our cultural heritage and what our citizens appreciate.
Still, the new county plan will allow the acreage devoted to agriculture to decline over time. Jolliffe says most farmers want the option to someday cash in by selling their land to developers. Yet it's hard to imagine that there's any pressure on agriculture in Southern California after witnessing the amazing bounty of the Wednesday morning farmers market in Santa Monica.
There's 5 and 15.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Dave Eakin has been selling oranges here for 25 years. Valencia's in the summer, Naples in the winter. Also, blood oranges. Elizabeth Belkin, the pastry chef at the restaurant Grace, buys a crateful.
For blood orange marmalade, for a dessert. Actually, two desserts. And these are really beautiful, so buying lots of them.
The day before, Dave Eakin was at his ranch, a few miles south of the city of Riverside, weighing and bagging fruit, getting ready for the 3 farmers markets he sells at each week.
I could do more if I wanted, but I figure there's easier ways to kill myself.
The farmers markets really started to take off in the late 1970s, and Eakin says for small operations like his, they've been the difference between life and death. They've allowed him to turn a part-time operation on just 18 acres into a full-time job. That's because selling directly to the public, he can get 5 times more for his oranges than he could from a packing house. In a good year, he says, his income's in the mid to high 5 figures. And selling through the farmers markets brings other satisfactions.
It's a communal event, you know. I mean, everyone gets together there. You see people, your neighbors, people you haven't seen, relatives, people you don't want to see. It's just a nice communal event, and kind of getting back to the early roots of bartering and trading and stuff like that.
Eakin says his farm is so small and his overhead so low, he can probably continue to grow and sell oranges despite the booming development of the Inland Empire.
There'll always be little guys around selling fruit, doing what I'm doing and stuff, but they're going to be fewer. And I don't know, it's kind of sad, but it's just progress. What are you going to do?
Ina Jaffe, NPR News.